Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and I'm delighted to see you all joining us here this afternoon. This is Thursday, July 6th, I think it is. Yeah, Thursday, July 6th, 2023, and this is the first Thursday of July. We're having our meditation gathering for the benefit of all living beings. Not only us, but there's other ones out there, too. So thanks for joining us, and we'll go ahead, I guess, and get started. It's a little after 5 o'clock here. I mean, we're in California, which is wonderful in terms of the recording and the call, because we're at the piano and in the living room overlooking our Hidden Valley Lake. It's the theme of is freedom, because this is 4th of July, we just happened. And we want to know, what is freedom actually, and independence, what's that, and interdependence, and how does that all work? So as you know, the format for our 1 hour, we have just about, take this no longer than 1 hour here, is that we have a meditation toward the beginning, which I'll be doing at the piano here, and then we just open it up for any concerns or thoughts, questions you have, focusing mainly on the spiritual dimension of things, not so much on the political and all of that. We get into that on the third Thursday, however you want. But on this one, we're focusing more on the underlying dynamics of the power of our consciousness for healing and for helping to co-create a world of peace and freedom for all of us. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. I think as people come along, Lisa, thank you for joining us and being our co-host to help let people in if I'm off somewhere as I'm playing with my eyes closed. And feel free to either mute. I mean, everybody should be unmuted, actually. That's much better. And you can have your cameras on or off either way. Together. Let's connect with our breathing. With every exhalation, we allow ourselves to relax into this present moment. Giving thanks for this beautiful moment, that we have to connect with each other, connect with the infinite life. That is the source. All life. With every exhalation, letting go. Breathing this beautiful air. On this beautiful earth. Supported by all of the ecosystems working together to create harmony and beauty, to create the possibility not only of a great celebration of life here, but to create an opportunity to serve, for us to learn and grow, of assistance to others, to help rescue the human family. Great delusion. And we give thanks for all of the teachers that have appeared in our lives over the years. We give thanks for their presence, sometimes guiding us and loving us and caring for us, sometimes challenging us, pushing us out of our comfort zone. Pushing us perhaps to grow and to open our minds and hearts to another way of seeing. We give thanks for the wisdom that is always available to our mind and heart, the wisdom that flows from the heart of our true nature, its infinite and eternal consciousness that was never born and will never die. Abide always in this consciousness. And we give thanks for the presence on this beautiful earth. Spiritual teachings that help us to awaken from the evening news, from the delusions of the culture we're born into, to a deeper understanding of our relationship with animals, nature, and with each other. And we give thanks for every sense that we have, our ability to see, our ability to hear, our ability to feel. Of all of the different animals, the birds in the sky, trees, all of the animals on the earth, those that are intimately involved with human life, the wild and free living animals, the marine animals in the waters, for us, in whatever way that is. We send them our gratitude, knowing that what they are is the same source that we have. We are all neighbors on this earth. We give thanks for them. Die. And we give thanks now especially for all of the animals who sacrifice themselves to immense pain and suffering at human hands. Food and for products, for research, for entertainment. We send them our apologies. We are asleep. We send them our love. Feeling in our heart of love and kindness and respect for all of the animals of this world, holding them in our hearts. Abundance, peace and benevolence and goodwill. We give thanks knowing that we have but a very short time on this earth. Every day is precious. Also, all of the other beings, besides all of the human beings and the animal beings, we thank all of the tree beings, the beautiful forests that breathe all of the oxygen into the air, who silently witness all of our efforts, who suffer at our hands also. We give thanks for the whole web of life. And we see its magnificent beauty as a tiny symbol and a hint. Tremendous intelligence. Who we may not be aware of through our five senses, but who are part of our world here. We take a moment now as we begin to focus on the inner dimension of our own life, to open our hearts to the truth that every cell in our body is filled with divine life and light, that every dimension of our life is inspired by the authentic wisdom of our true nature, that we are guided by this wisdom intuitively, and that everything we are experiencing is for the highest good of our unfoldment, as a way of learning, as a way of deepening our understanding ourselves and others. And we give thanks that we have been born at this time, during this especially challenging period for humanity, to shine our light especially brightly, like a beacon in the darkness. Every exhalation now, we radiate into the world loving kindness, breathing and radiating love and kindness, filling every cell of our being with love, with every exhalation allowing this love to flow forth in all directions, excluding no one. Breathing and radiating love. true home of love and kindness. And with every exhalation, we radiate compassion. The great yearning to help relieve the suffering of others. That we have taken to awaken our consciousness, that we may be able to relieve the suffering of others and shine our light. So we radiate with every exhalation the light of compassion. Directions, filling the whole world with compassion, and we send now the feeling of joy, the awareness that the very nature of consciousness, the essence, joy, the joy of being, of seeing and being aware, with every exhalation we allow this joy to radiate from our heart in all directions, filling the whole world with the truth of joy. Together now, love for all beings, compassion for all, joy and peace. Seeing every cell in our being, every dimension of our affairs, vibrantly radiating with love, compassion, joy, and peace as we go through our days, radiating and embodying the truth of our original nature. Expressions of life, that we're all related. So we give thanks for everyone who's on this meditation now and who will be listening to the recording later. May we all awaken to our unique mission ever more fully and shine the light that we are, giving thanks that we know we are part of the awakening of human consciousness for the benefit of all beings, of the past, present, and future. That each one of us has a unique song to sing. Go forth now, singing that song every moment. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining in our meditation. Appreciate your presence. And we are just delighted to be able to have this time to remember. I think that's really what it's about, remembering why we're here and what our purpose is and how we can work together and not be pulled down by all of the delusions and deceptions that we seem to be swimming in everywhere. So thank you for sticking with it all these years. We've been doing this now for we've been doing our third Thursday now, I think, for we're in our 12th year, I think. This is, I think, our third year, I think, for the meditation one. We started in 2020, yeah. So, wow, it's great. And so what I'd like to do, of course, is generally speaking, is have it wide open. If you want to ask a question or make a comment that you feel is came out of the meditation or that has to do with spirituality and compassion and meditation, just feel free to press *6 or unmute yourself. I'm happy to respond. And if there isn't anyone that feels like they want to do that right now or would like to do that, then I'm happy to say a few things that I've been thinking about over the last month that I think are part of the game that's going on right now for us. And on one level, it is a game. I think it's something that we're learning. It's like an activity, and sometimes we take it not seriously enough, I think, and maybe sometimes we take it too seriously. But the whole idea is to really make an effort to dive more deeply into the nature of reality and our life on this planet, and why we're here and what's really going on, what's actually going on. And of course, one of the things that is at the core of everything is our relationship with nature and animals. And so the underlying problem, from my point of view, in a lot of the spiritual issues that we're having is this: we just have this background of slaughtering and torturing and killing millions of animals every day, right? That's just happening in the background, behind the curtain. And virtually everyone is participating in it and causing it and eating it and teaching their kids to do the same thing. So, and yet we just studiously ignore this whole thing. And then we try to create a world of peace and freedom and justice and harmony while there's blood all over us, you know, dripping from our mouths. And we don't see the irony of it. It's like, well, you know, we should be able to figure out how we can live in peace here and not blow each other up with nuclear weapons. But ask the cows and pigs and chickens, you know, how they feel about how we're doing this, right? I mean, ask them. And we don't do that. You know, they don't get on the evening news. They don't get on the New York Times. They don't get anywhere. So that's the dilemma in many ways. And when we wake up to that a little bit, we start to feel, great, now I understand. But then we start to feel, oh no, nobody wants to change. People feel that we have the right to eat animals. Like this is something that is our sacred right to do, that we're humans and we're superior to them and we can do that. And so the whole thing reflects in thousands of ways, boomerangs back on us. I'm noticing, you probably have heard about it, there's a new film that just came out on 4th of July called The Sound of Freedom. And I have not seen it, so I can't say specifically, but I've seen the trailer and I've heard about it, and it's very, very touching, it seems to be. And it's about the trafficking of children, as I understand. And the whole idea, of course, it's very much being promoted through the more religious and spiritual communities, more on the right wing, I would say. There isn't any right wing and left wing anymore anyway. I guess we can forget that. But anyway, people who are standing, like Christians and people who are standing up for freedom, seem to be more interested in this. Democrats and things don't seem to be that interested in the whole thing, but I guess they are on some level. I used to be a Democrat until recently, a while ago, but the whole thing is more about this hidden agenda of using children sexually and in other ways. And it's been going on, I think, for a long time, but it's very ironic because it's had over 1.4 million people went to the movie theaters to see this document. It's like a documentary. It's about child trafficking. It's based on a true story. And yet I found out that the New York Times gave a list of, I don't know, 100 or 150 of the documentaries that everyone that are out now, and they didn't include that one. They're trying every. It's like the mainstream media does not want anyone to know about this film. Now, like, why is that? Like, why do they really not want anyone to know about what's happening to children, the trafficking of children? Why is that something that they would not want to report about, or not want anyone to think about or be aware of? And I think again, it kind of reflects perhaps the deeper issues in our society but people do want to know, and we would like to put an end to this kind of stuff. But underlying everything, of course, in my mind, is the sexual abuse and trafficking of millions of animal children every single day that we don't talk about at all, right? That's completely under the radar. The fact is that basically all of the animals that are being killed for food, millions every day, are babies, are very young, adolescents at the most, in human terms. They're children. They're only, chickens are only about 40 days old. And they're given special drugs to make them get fat and all that kind of stuff and grow very quickly. But that's what we're doing. We're sexually abusing children, animal children, by the millions. And it's boomeranging back, and we're not making those connections. We're sort of outraged that it's happening, which we should be, I think. I mean, we shouldn't just yawn and say, oh, well, that's tough luck for them. I mean, this is, if there's anything that's an ethical breach, it's sexually abusing children. And yet this is being normalized. It's being considered to be fine. It's fine to do. And we see that happening more and more. Pedophilia is being normalized. All kinds of things are being normalized. So from my point of view, we should be very alert to this and asking why this is happening, because it goes against every spiritual teaching, right? I mean, spiritual teachings essentially are based on the idea of the interconnectedness of all of us, and so when we awaken spiritually, we become a force for kindness and compassion, especially for those who are vulnerable, especially for those who are weak and defenseless. The whole, Jesus said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, right? That's the point. You lay down your life for the poor sheep. But, of course, the irony is, as you all are aware, I'm sure, that no, the shepherd has the sheep only for one reason, and that's to kill the sheep. That's the purpose. So we have this fundamental irony and paradox at the core of our society. And it's boomeranging back with increasing ferocity because we've been doing it for 10,000 years. So now we have technologies in place to just make it happen. And so I think one of the things hopefully we're seeing is that we are called to stop this abuse of animal children, and that's really the foundation of everything. So it'll be interesting to see if that element gets brought up at all. There's a woman in Australia named Claire Mann. I don't know if you know who she is, Claire Mann. She's a pretty well-known author, vegan author, who wrote a book called Vistopia with a V, V-Y-S. She's a vegan psychologist, and she says that most vegans, or many vegans, when they go vegan, they're not that happy because they try to bring this message and they're miserable all the time because people don't want to listen. And so she and I have been talking the last couple of days about doing some online presentations to make the connection with animals, animal children abuse and human children abuse, sexually and physically and trafficking and so forth. We'll see how that goes. But I think it really is a spiritual issue and one that really calls us, I think, to try to speak up on behalf of children, because there's nothing more heartbreaking to me than seeing human children abused the way they're being abused in our society today, so many different ways. I mean, not only by corporations and in many cases by the whole system. I mean, being forced to wear masks in school. I mean, it's just it's off the charts. I mean, this is just horrible abuse of children, and that's considered just like normal. But just, you know, pull the curtain back and see all this trafficking and abuse of children in other ways as well. So I guess, you know, the question comes up really for us as spiritual beings who are just here for a few decades. It's always the same question, which is, how do we respond, right? How do we respond to the situation? What do we do? I think that's the question. And each one of us, there's no way someone can tell someone else how they should respond, because we all have our own unique mission in this lifetime and our purpose and what we're here for. But I think we can't close our eyes. I mean, we can, but the more we close our eyes, the harder the 2x4 hits very often until we finally open up our eyes and actually see what's happening. So I don't know. If anyone has any thoughts on that, feel free to share them. We have, let's see, yeah, we have a few more minutes here, so I'm happy to entertain those, because I think, you know, it's really about freedom, right? We all want freedom, but then the question is, what is freedom exactly? I mean, it's obviously, freedom does not mean, this is the fundamental thing, freedom does not mean the freedom to abuse others, right? I mean, that's not what freedom is. Freedom is not not license. Like the corporations say, oh, we're free to, what, free to dump their chemicals into the rivers and free, you know, obviously, freedom, that's got nothing to do with authentic freedom. Freedom, authentically, is the ability that we have to express ourselves and to speak and so forth. And that's really under attack on an enormous level. If we can't speak freely, if we can't think freely, gather freely, worship freely, and, you know, all these things, as the concept, you know, these basic constitutional freedoms, we don't have a possibility. It's very difficult to actually be conveyed. You know, there's, like in the Buddhist tradition, they talk about the hardest thing. They say one of the hardest things is to be born as a human, because there's other realms, and it's much easier to be born as an animal, or to be born as a hungry ghost, or in a hell realm, or a heaven realm, or a titan realm, one of these other realms. But if you do get born as a human, that's still not good enough, because you could be born in a place where you have no freedom, where the Dharma, the teachings, is not available, or in a situation where you don't have your faculties, or, I mean, all kinds of things can happen. So what they say is, to actually be born as a human, to actually be in a situation, in a country or a world where you actually have some time and you can learn, get the teachings, and you can learn, and you can practice meditation, and you can actually make an effort to grow spiritually and have clear conscience and consciousness and awareness and all your faculties, you know, they say that is so rare. Don't fritter it away. I remember listening to Kalu Rinpoche in San Francisco back in the 70s. He said, that is as rare as if you had a ring floating on a vast ocean and a turtle who only comes up once every 1,000 years to take a breath of air. And it's so rare. It's like as rare as that turtle coming up once every 1,000 years and his head goes through that ring. That's how rare it is to have a human birth. So if you have that kind of a human birth, you know, that's really precious. Use it well. And, you know, it's, yeah, the whole idea is to try to encourage us to not to make lightly of our time here on this earth, that it is precious. And instead of trying to get something for myself, to try to be a blessing to others. There's a great saying by Shantideva. He says, all of the joy and happiness in this world is from the self caring for others. All of the misery and unhappiness in the world is from the self caring for itself. You know, I mean, think about that. I think that's really so interesting, because we're pretty much taught that our happiness comes from looking out for number one, right? Getting what we want, and if we can do that, we'll be happy. And that's completely contrary in many ways to the spiritual teachings, which actually are focused, encourage us to focus less on our own wants and desires and fears, and focus more on how we can bless others. How can we be a voice for blessing others, helping them in some way? And that's, again, we all have our unique calling in this lifetime, but I think there's something to really ponder about that in our society, especially today, when there's so much fear going around and there's this basic feeling of not trusting, right, each other. You know, we might give each other diseases and all those kinds of things. So to see how we can be using our precious life for the benefit not only of ourselves and our own growth, which is very important, obviously, but for everyone around us. Because we do have ways. I mean, some of us go out into, you know, we go to shop and we deal with people in stores, we go to work, we deal with people, or we're online, we are dealing with people. So, in the background, though, there's the animals, and in the background there's children, you know, the future generations. I mean, these are the ones whose interests are not protected. Future generations, children, animals, people who, you know, beings who don't really, except for us, you know, we're the ones that we can protect them, right? I mean, we have some way we can speak up for them as best we can, and to find a way to do that, I think, is really important. So, okay, so let's see. I'm going to stop there. I just want to see if anyone has a comment or a question of any kind. I'm just enjoying this so much.
I do. Hi there.
Nope, can I hear somebody. Me? Okay.
Yeah, this is Stacy. Sorry, I'm on a video. First thing, am I not supposed to be in this group? Is this for only the facilitators? I'm on your Facebook group.
No, this is the first Thursday. This is open to anyone who finds out about
good.
It.
Oh, good. Okay, good, because I didn't know if it was just for the online.
No,
training.
The third Thursday is only for the online, but this first Thursday is open. Yep.
Perfect, because I listen to one or two recordings, and I really enjoy this. Thank you. I think I first heard you talk like 20 years ago or 25 years ago at the San Francisco Shivananda Center. A long time ago.
I remember
it was
like
that. Five people.
Right.
So,
it was great.
So I really appreciate this. I'm a lifelong vegetarian, now vegan, and I do a lot on social media. I got so censored. I mean, people already probably didn't love all my vegan posts. I have like a lot of people like quote-unquote on my yoga following, so I kind of... It is yogic diet to not harm the animals. So I interweave it and I post, but you know, I'm somewhat careful. So I do like a separate, like Ahimsa pages, just to not bombard people only with animal rights posts. But
right.
I mean, my social media and I do a chair yoga training online. I have a chapter on yogic diet and Ahimsa. I feel like I'm really not doing enough. Like, of course I don't eat the animals and the yoga community or posts and social media knows, but like, I rescued a cat and adopted my first cat 4 months ago, but I'm not like, I feel like social media, is that enough to impact? Like, I'm in Bay Area. I also got hit hard because the whole mandates and the pandemic, and like, I was kind of shocked that even the vegan community ousted me here because I wouldn't, tell them my vax status. I couldn't go to any of their events, and even the vegan, all the animal rights activists here in the meditation group, I couldn't go anymore because I wouldn't tell them my back card. And then the San Francisco Veg Society, who I taught chair yoga for as a volunteer for many years on site and then online to help promote animal rights, she like shamed me online and said, you can never teach for us because how dare you post. I dare posted that horseshoe crab blood was used in the vaccine, and I questioned the need of the vaccine on post. Yes, Facebook sent for me, but it was, I was shocked the SF founder was slamming me. And I'm like, how did the vegan community turn against each other? So I was a little jaded on that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't even want anything to do with it. They wouldn't let me in the Bay Area with any vegan events, but I still want to help the animals. So like, what else besides social media? Because I really don't feel the desire to go to all their Bay Area vegan events when they wouldn't let me in them for 2 years, quite frankly.
Right.
So what else can you do aside from social media to directly help and educate? You know what I'm saying? If these orgs wouldn't let me in for their own mandates and turn against each other now, solely as a yoga teacher, what else can we do?
Right. Yeah, I know. It's so funny. But by the way, that the woman you're talking about with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, she's not the founder. No, she's a new kind of a new one. She's been there a couple of few years. She did the same thing to me. I mean, she, really ridiculous. But
right, we're just trying to like help promote their org, right? I mean, and help the work, and kind of shocking, but so it is, right?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the thing. You know, to me, the whole point of veganism is about sovereignty and protecting the sovereignty and freedom of all living beings. So if we don't do that, you know, if we don't let people speak, then we're going directly against what veganism is all about, plus the fact that, all of the medications and vaccines and everything are all tested on animals and
right. It's the vegan community, even on social media, they're so adamant and hardcore about like, how dare you? I see a photo of this bag that's leather or the bees or the honey. And they go so specific that when the vaccine came out, all of a sudden it was a free for all. Yeah, but this is fine to test on animals. Now, I'm not telling people they should or shouldn't get it, whatever they want to do. Vegan, everyone has a right to choose. But then to shun my voice about it was the next level. I was like, then that's another problem. Like, again, just because they're vegan doesn't mean they approve or don't approve the vaccine. It's a personal choice they had. Just because, like, I'm not even perfect vegan, right? I don't eat fish or animals, but, like, you know, I'm not perfect. I'll sometimes have honey and stuff, and I know there's stuff on that. But my point is, like, but then to shun each other in the community.
Yeah, well, no, I know. It's part of a global psyop, you know, and the vegans get sucked into it, unfortunately. I mean, it's really... you know, fifth-generation warfare, very sophisticated brainwashing techniques were used on the general population, and most people did not have the spiritual foundation to resist. That's really what happened.
I had higher expectations of vegans and yogis.
A lot of vegans have a little more consciousness,
but I was wrong.
Yeah, we've been saying that. I've been teaching this for years, that veganism is a two-step process. The first step, going vegan, that's great, but that's only half the step. The second step is then the real work, the spiritual work, to understand our true nature and to understand what's actually happening in our society and in the core of our culture. And most vegans don't get that far. So unfortunately, a lot of vegans bit the dust, really, when it came to that whole thing.
Right. I felt like they tore me apart. The yoga teachers and the vegans in the Bay Area tore me apart and isolated me more than any other community here. It was unbelievable.
Right.
That shocked me, but I'm not. I won't give up the fight for animals. I don't care what community else needs. So the question now: how do you?
Yeah.
What's the best way if you're not involved in those direct big organizations to help with side social media, right?
You know, I think that's the kind of a question that is one to feel into as your own unique gifts and desire and how you like to. What you bring to the movement, right? Whatever it is. I mean, we all have our own talents and abilities and interests and so forth, and try different things. I mean, there's a lot, like I'm mainly a writer and speaker, and I play the piano. I do, you know, whatever I can do, different things. And I, you know, COVID kind of put a little bit of a kink in it, but I, you know, Mel and I, we kind of pushed ahead anyway. But I think, if you can just kind of take it, you know, think about it, just kind of meditate, use your intuition, like what would be an avenue for you to help share the message? And maybe it's not social media, maybe it is, I don't know. Some people do a lot, you know, online. but there's lots of other things. People are, you know, there's things that need to be done. It would be nice to have more gatherings again of people doing things, and maybe, you know, like that's what we do. I like to see people, so we do a lot of just in-person lectures and things all over the place, and we need local
right
people
and
to
like
help
potluck
set those up,
all this,
you know. But doing yoga, I mean, teaching yoga, I mean, that's amazing.
That,
know, teaching yoga.
That was what I was trying to bring to the animal rights organizations, and I literally taught them even for an animal rights retreat in Marin and at the Vegetarity. But what I'm saying is they all were like, you can't teach or go near us for this year. So now I'm done with that. I'm not going to go back to those type of groups. So that's why I'm like, well, except for my own teaching, what I do, if I bring it up in class, like, that's what I mean. If I'm not now affiliating with those organizations anymore, I guess my own, I could create my own events, create potlucks in the community, maybe a yoga class and a vegan potluck and talk about it a bit or have someone speak on it.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we did. Like, where we live here in Lake County, it's up north, but we had a vegan potluck that I didn't organize it. It was already here before we ever moved here, a once a month vegan potluck. And then with COVID, you know, they all went the other way. And then so we just started it up. We started our own potluck. It's called the Vegan Freedom Potluck.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And, you know, it's growing, you know, and some of the people are coming. A lot of them won't come because they were all upset that I wasn't masking and all that stuff. But you know, so this is kind of this division. But hopefully, as time goes on, the division will heal. Because I think even a lot of these people who were very pro-vaccine and masking, they're getting either, they know someone who got injured by the vaccine, or they're starting to gradually wake up that this was not what it seemed to be. And maybe they'll soften up, maybe. But if not, maybe there's new people, other people.
Right, and
also,
and actually, thank
health
you.
Health freedom people, you know, the health freedom people need to hear the vegan message too. So that's another possibility.
Yeah, actually, it's what's interesting. Those health freedom, medical freedom groups in the Bay Area, they're really all about, like, sustainable meat. It's so interesting. Bone broth, sustainable meat. There's a whole other level that went the other way, which surprised me too. So I'm, like, tuning into that, and I'm listening, and I'm like, okay, that's interesting. They've got a movement promoting it almost.
Right.
They say sustainable agriculture, but that's more than even like the average person's doing. They're actually promoting it. Sustainable farm animal, come get this sustainable meat today. This, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's a whole.
Yeah.
It's going together, strangely.
Yeah. I know. Well, what I'm doing actually is writing a book. It's almost finished. It'll be coming soon, called Food for Freedom. And I'm trying to help people who are health freedom advocates see the vegan perspective of liberating animals, and because more and more the health freedom people see vegans as the literally the enemy. Like, we are the ones who are like forcing them to not be able to eat meat. Like Eric Adams recently, you know, he's in New York City. So because of climate change, you know, nobody can eat meat anymore, and we shouldn't be using lies like climate change, you know, for something good, right? It's not ethical to use lies to promote something good, to promote the truth. So, but that's happening. A lot of vegans are using climate change, or they're using these other theories that are completely bogus, and it's just infuriating everybody against veganism. I think it's a tactic, I mean, in a way, because I think the vegan movement is this, veganism and spirituality are the two forces that will liberate this planet. I mean, those are ahimsa, veganism, and spirituality are the forces of liberation. And so what this, I think, the globalists are doing is just trying to attack spirituality and attack veganism any way they can, and divide and conquer them. And so it's really important for us to cultivate our spirituality. Remember who we are, that we're not just this body. Animals are not just the body either. You know, that's why we don't harm them. We see they're a thing. They're not just a piece of meat. And so unfortunately, a lot of vegans haven't seen that. But a lot of I think the health freedom people do have a spiritual side. So hopefully they can start to see, you know, what right do they have to want to be free when they're just enslaving all these animals, actually. You know, so I think it would be good to try to heal that and try to create a new movement based on freedom for all beings. And maybe we can do it, you know.
And you answer my question within this as I'm asking you, and you, like, then I'm coming, like, I could do the potlucks, and you mentioned you did. Let me not wait. I don't need to affiliate with an organization to do a big event. I can create a potluck yoga class just to, and then vegan. It, just by having a vegan potluck alone is promoting that. No animal products. So that, and just build a community of like vegan potlucks maybe again here. They used to do so many in the area and they kind of stopped 2 years ago. They're not really starting up. They used to do much more. So that kind of answered it. So thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Just start here's my first, My Little Foundation rescue cat, Melon.
Oh, how sweet. Great. Uh-oh, it's getting close to that. I don't know. Does anyone else have a comment? We only have a couple of minutes left here. I just want to, but thank you, Stacy, for your question. I think it's something we're all dealing with here, and it's good to keep our compassion alive, even for people who seem to be harming things, because no one thinks they're evil. You know, that's the point. No one is evil. Everybody's. I think even the ones who seem to be really evil, I think even they don't think they're evil. they're trying to, there's too many humans. We've got to get rid of most of the humans because, it's too many of them. We've got to cull the herd. So I don't think they think of themselves as evil. And very often what seems to be evil is actually presented as something very good, like green, the green movement and all these things I used to be so in favor of. And now I realize it's just all about turning us into livestock and taking away our freedom and locking us down and taking away our freedom of travel and everything. So there is something to understand how beguiling the dark force actually is. It's the great deception. And in the Buddha, before his enlightenment, he actually was tempted by Mara, the devil, the king of demons, and he touched the earth. And he said, "The earth is my witness." And I think there's something for us to learn about that. To just stay closely connected to the earth, the beauty of the earth, the animals, and just speak our truth. Just use our intuition to see through all the lies and the smoke and mirrors that are everywhere swirling around, and speak our truth. And we will touch a few other people. They're out there. And the more we do that, I think the more we can make an interconnected web of compassion and kindness and freedom. So, but thanks, Stacy. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. And I love your articles to interweave everything. I share them on my yoga groups, and it's just a good, you do really good, good work. Thank you.
Thanks. Great. All right. Well, everybody we all know our prayer, the one that we do every day at noon. We do it every day at noon. We have our alarm here on the phone that goes off, and it's on our website, circleofcompassion.org. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. So let's say that together. Madeline, are you here? Here she comes, just out of the garden.
Yeah, just from the garden.
All right, so let's say it. You can unmute your microphones, please, if you like. You don't have to, but that's kind of the ancient tradition here. All right, let's go ahead. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Compassion encircles the earth
for all beings
everywhere.
Again.
Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere.
One more time with feeling.
Compassion circles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Yay. All right, everyone. Woo-hoo. Go forth and multiply the message, and look forward to seeing you next month or later this month if you're on the third one. Much love. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lisa.
Thank you. Madeline.
Thank you.